You never know. I'm wearing high heels today. Right? Yeah. Yeah, you never know. So welcome, everybody. It's great to see you. Today I'm talking about wonder and beauty and love and, well, you know, the usual and God. And the title of the talk is what's the title of my talk? Somebody read it to me. What is it? Okay, a life more beautiful than we can think. I can never remember the exact words once I get up here. So a life more beautiful than we can think. The emphasis is on than we can, than we are able to think. And that's riffing on a quote by Heisenberg, who is a philosopher and a physicist. He said that the universe is not only stranger than we think, the universe is stranger than we can think. Richard Rohr took that quote and he substituted the word God in there. God is not only stranger than we think, God is stranger than we can think. And I, as a mystical teacher in my own right, I would like to substitute the word life and beauty for those terms. That life is not only more beautiful than we think, life is more beautiful than we can think. To me, beauty is a synonym for God. Beauty, God, love, spirit, higher power, absolute reality, it's all the same thing to me, and to many of us here that follow this philosophy. We really can't put the infinite into a little tiny box, but for lack of a better word, sometimes we call that little tiny box God. But we know that God is much greater and much grander and much more loving and much more grace-filled and wonderful than we can think. I was reminded as I was thinking about this talk about a quote from Robert Louis Stevenson where he says, "Let beauty awake for beauty's sake." And that reminded me of a quote from Brother Meister Eckhart, Christian philosopher, a long time ago. I'm not looking at David because he'll be disappointed that I don't know the year. What's the year? 1260 to 1328. Anyway, he said that we often want to love God as if God is a cow, like we want to love God for what God can give us. I don't know why they insisted on calling God he for all those years if God is a cow, right? But really, we're supposed to love God for God. It's like loving beauty for beauty's sake. We love beauty because it's beautiful. I mean, certainly it makes us feel good, but we also love God because God is God. And God is supposed to make us feel good too. And that, my strange little friends and my strange little mind, reminded me of one of the first mystical paradoxes, Buddhist koans that I heard as a child. And it goes like this. It's about beauty. Do I love you because you're beautiful? Or are you, everybody, are you beautiful because I love you? Oh, you actually know it. That's great. Sometimes I say everybody and there's like this dead silence in the congregation. And I know I sang it like an aging drag queen, but that's okay. Because y'all did too, right? The key that I picked. But yeah, do I love you because you're beautiful, or are you beautiful because I love you? I guess the answer to that question is what?
Yes.
Yes, both. Both of the above. So you see all those connections? All those weird connections that are becoming more and more obvious as time goes on? As we get deeper into this philosophy and we see that all of the world is connected and all of these ancient philosophers are connected with Rogers and Hammerstein and us in this beautiful center, you know, and thinking about beauty being a synonym for God and that we love beauty for beauty's sake and we love God for God's sake, it reminded me of Rupert Spira, who is another mystical teacher, and he advises us that when we recognize the beauty in something, that the separation between subject and object collapses. We become one with the object where we recognize beauty. You know, the mystical, non-dual teachers talk about how God, the void, love, absolute reality, created his infinite subject, is an infinite subject, and it created infinite objects as a reflection of itself. But when we love, when we appreciate beauty, because beauty is another word for God, we close that gap. We are no longer subject and object. There is no longer any separation. We are one with the object that we appreciate. Because, as you may know, as you may recognize, we're all familiar with that phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? What's beautiful to me may not be beautiful to you, right? Beauty, it does not, the property of beauty does not belong to the object. The property of beauty belongs to the beholder or our perception. And we are one with God. So the property of beauty is one with God or one with love or one with the absolute, whatever we want to call it. Now that's all awesome to me, that beauty has been given to us through grace and that we get to appreciate it and then we get to wonder at it, as Hugh said in the reading. But what also is really interesting to me is when it feels like there is an absence of beauty. When we have something in our life and we just cannot see the beauty in it. And that's when life gets really interesting, because that is a call to work on ourselves. Because if beauty is another name for God, and God is what? Omni what? Omnipresent. Good job, y'all. God is omnipresent, and so beauty must be omnipresent too. So is it possible, if beauty is omnipresent, that there is a spot where beauty is not? Yes. It's just hard to see sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes even when you're looking in the mirror and counting the wrinkles, right? It's hard to see beauty. Sometimes when you step on the scale, it's hard to see beauty, you know? Or it's hard to see beauty in things that the world collectively believes are ugly and unpleasant and fear-inducing. So we're going to work on that today. And what I invite all of you to do is to not only think about where you are so wonderfully appreciative of beauty and knowing that beauty is there for your joy and that beauty connects you with all that is, but also to look at the places in your life where it feels like beauty is absent. You could be looking within, you could be looking without, even though there is no in or out in the infinite, but wherever it feels like there is beauty lacking, where the perception of beauty is lacking. That's the place for your work today, and really every day. I want to say a little bit about perception and how that works. And this is a story about one of our students that was in Foundations class with me that I just finished teaching, and he gave me permission to share this story. Many of you know Norm. There, Norm. Can we all say Norm like it's Cheers? Norm! Okay. TV show. Like boomers. So Norm has a ranch out in Fillmore where he grows beautiful fruit trees and flowers and attracts lots of bumblebees and has this whole butterfly thing going on over there. And I went out to the ranch one day to talk with him about butterflies, because I was going to do a sermon about butterflies because they're such a beautiful spiritual metaphor. And I thought, as a thank you present, I would bring Norm something. And I had forgotten that I did this, but he reminded us in class the other day. He said, when Reverend Bonnie got out of the car and fended off the six dogs, I found that she had brought me something wonderful. And what I had brought him was a bunch of used Keurig coffee pods, you know, right? You know what I'm talking about? So I brought him basically used coffee grounds. And he thought it was wonderful. Now, why would an avid gardener think that used coffee grounds are wonderful? Does anybody know the answer?
Yes.
Compost, yeah. Did I hear other answers over there? I don't know. But yes, compost. And I had forgotten that. In the eyes of Norm, that was a beautiful present. I don't know if anybody else wants that for their Christmas, but, you know, he's getting... Well, I told him what he's getting for this Christmas. You know, we have this huge rabbit at home. And he's all excited. He's getting a Tupperware filled with rabbit what? See? There you go. Beautiful, beautiful compost. Norm, settle down. You're going to get it, I promise. Because she is a producer, man. She eats a lot. Okay, let's not go there. Anyway, you all said the word, not me, okay? Oh, good, thank you. Megan says I don't have to get her anything this year. because your choices are used coffee grounds or rabbit poop. Right. So, but the thing is that Norm and others, certain others of us, perhaps my husband Hugh, can see the beauty in all of that. Those people that compost and that can look at used coffee grounds and rabbit poo and say, "Oh my gosh, that's not what it seems to be. That is trees and flowers and bees and butterflies and fruit and nutrition and all of that." So if we can do that for used coffee grounds and rabbit, thank you. If we can do that for that, is it possible to do it for anything? I don't know. I don't know. You know, we look at those places where we're stuck in finding the beauties and ask, is this possible? Is it possible to see the beauty in this? As many of you know, I went to Jordan a few weeks ago. I've been back for 3 weeks now. And I'm bringing this up again because of a conversation that I had away from the church. I was with a friend on Monday, and she was reacting to my trip to Jordan based on what she had heard on the news about Muslim countries and Muslim women and oppression and that kind of thing. It reminded me of when I first moved to California. When we lived in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley, and one of my friends from North Carolina called me up and she said, "Bonnie, are there gangs there? Are you going to be safe? Are there gangs there in North Carolina? You might could get a gun, you know?" And I mean, there are gangs in North Hollywood. I said North Carolina. Well, they're probably in North Carolina too at this point, but in North Hollywood. But you know, you look at the news when there's a natural disaster like a flood or something, and it looks like all of California, all of LA is underwater, right? And it's not that the news is lying. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't always lie. But it just can't always tell the whole story, right? It's like that thing that we do in the church where you touch your elbow, right? You touch your elbow. Okay. Your elbow, David, not Mary's. No, I'm kidding. Okay. And you touch your elbow and you ask, "Am I touching my body?" And yes, you most certainly are. But are you touching your entire body? No. So the news may or may not be telling the truth, but when it is telling the truth, it may tell the truth about one terrorist, or, you know, I've read a book or two about oppression in Muslim countries, oppression of women, but it's telling the truth, but it's not the truth, the entire truth, because there are many, many beautiful people that wear hijab and that are not oppressed, that choose to dress that way, that choose to follow in great faith the teachings of the Quran. And I met so many of them when I was in Jordan. And I found beauty in them. If those of you were part of the Facebook group, and I wasn't able to get it together to have a picture up here, but I posted a picture of a group of Muslim women, and there was a woman right in the front, and her name is Fatima. And she was dressed in full hijab, her head was covered, she was wearing a heart pin from India, which was really sweet, and just a beautiful face and a beautiful person who spoke no English. And yet, I got to know her through translations and through just heart connections. You know, to preserve her confidentiality, I won't talk about what she had been through, but she had been through a lot. She had been through a lot of suffering and a lot of tragedy and deaths in her family brought on by oppression and terror. And yet, she was a social work student, studying social work in Amman, Jordan, studying to help others and to transform her suffering into beauty. And she had not lost her faith. She was one of the women, I think I may have told some of you this, hopefully I'm not repeating something that I've said in church already, but oh well. Because if I can't remember, chances are you can't, right? So, right. But I was sitting in a room learning lyrics for this concert that I was singing later on, and she came in with two of her friends, and they said, it's whatever time it was, it's time to pray. You know, Muslims pray 5 times a day. They turn towards Mecca and they pray and they get on their knees and get up and bow and whatnot. And I said, "Do you want me to leave?" And they said, "No, stay here." And so I stayed while they prayed, and afterwards, the one who spoke English asked me if I had any questions. And I didn't have any questions, but I said, "I just really want to tell you how much I admire your devotion. You know, it would probably behoove me, if not others, you can speak for yourselves, to stop what I'm doing 5 times a day and get on my knees and bow down to the wonder of the universe, whether it's physically or metaphorically. And I asked them about that. I asked them, and Fatima, the one who didn't speak English, was the one to answer, and she was translated. I actually put it on Facebook on my page, but basically what she said she was doing was that she was, at 5 times a day, she looks at what she's done in the past few hours, and she asks herself, is there anything that I need forgiveness for? Have I done any harm to anybody? Or has somebody done harm to me, and do I need to forgive them? And she said the other thing that she does is that she bows down internally and externally to the wisdom and the wonder and the beauty of the universe and the awesomeness of God. And I recorded it, and I told them, I asked permission to put it on Facebook. And they were so excited that I was going to do that. They were excited to be seen, excited to be heard, but even more excited for me to find beauty in the Islamic teaching and to spread it around, because so often there is this negative stereotype that goes with the teaching. And I was so in awe and so touched by the beauty of what they shared. They came to the concert that we did later on. Nemo Patel, who was coming in a couple of weeks, and I were in a concert. He did most of the work. I sang a couple of songs. But they came to the concert, and afterwards, Fatima came up to me. She made a special effort to come up to me, not speaking English, but brought a translator with her and told me, thank you for sharing the beauty of your voice. So this is someone that has been through immense trouble and immense suffering and immense pain and tragedy, and yet she can still find beauty. And perhaps her discovery of beauty is made sweeter because of the darkness that she has been through. It seems that beauty, that light, needs the darkness for contrast. I think it's just the way we're made. And if we have darkness in our life, or if we have struggle, it doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong. It just means that it's time to celebrate, because there's an opportunity to go deeper and to close that gap between subject and object, to become one with everything that is happening. I don't know whether it's harder or easier to do that with the big stuff. The big stuff, the things that happen on the news, the tragedies that we see in life. But I do know that there is a lot of resistance to doing it, to closing the gap and to making the beautiful choice with the little stuff. And what I'm talking about is the littleness within, well, I'll say me, but perhaps you have smallness and pettiness inside you too. Places in life where we might feel like a victim, or we might feel like someone is against us. We might feel like whining and complaining. Is that beautiful? Yes, it kind of has to be. Because everything is beautiful, and when I'm in it, though, when I am in the state of whining and complaining and wanting it, I want the whining itself to be beautiful, when really the whining is beautiful. The making the other person wrong or feeling victimized by the other person, it is beautiful because it gives me an opportunity to move through it and find a greater truth, to find a greater truth of oneness. I'm deciding what to say right now. How much time do we have? Nah, we're good. We're done. No. You know, it's interesting. I will share this with you because we're amongst friends, right? So we've had an interesting year in the church financially, right, this year. And I've been here for 16 years. First 2 years were really hard. Almost 16 years, yeah. Almost 16 years. The first 2 years were really hard in lots of ways. And then financially speaking, we always had a surplus. And this year, we're kind of on the edge. We're a little bit under. And and yet, we've been spending lots of money to restore Heron House to its original beauty, and we're getting all kinds of labor for free and all of these beautiful things happening, but there's that little German Virgo in me that wants to see the budget balanced, and not only wants to see the operating budget balanced, wants to see a surplus on the operating budget. That little German Virgo in me is very, very vociferous. She has a lot to say about everything. everything. And yet, I was chatting with someone yesterday about the budget, and you know, was there something we should be doing? And I actually said these words. It's like, you know, I'm kind of excited that we have a slight deficit, because I feel like things are shifting here. Things are shifting. God is wanting to express through us in a deeper way as a congregation, and that's going to get my attention. That's going to get our attention. And it doesn't matter if there's a slight deficit. We can cut expenses, or we can do something else. But what this is a calling to start to see that we are changing, and a new message wants to emerge through this congregation, a new force for good in the world. Now that is transforming a budget deficit into beauty. And if a little German Virgo girl can do it with that, I truly believe, and I know for all of us sitting here today, that anything in your life can be transformed into beauty. Now you may ask, why? Why should I do that? Why should I do that? Have you noticed the world seems a little challenging right now? And it seems like we've tried violence, we've tried fighting, we've tried opposition, we've tried, I've tried this one, righteous indignation. And none of that works very well. So to quote my friend Ari Nessel, who is a Buddhist and a great meditator, who spoke up here a couple weeks ago, he said, just do the beautiful thing. Whether it's inside or outside, do the beautiful thing. I completely believe that the transformation of the world depends on people like us. And it's not a huge fist-shaking, we're going to change everything type thing. It is little tiny acts of beauty and kindness that we do everywhere, that we do when we're inspired to do them, and most importantly, we do them when we are not inspired to do them. I was chatting with Nipun over lunch when he and Ari were here. Nipun Mehta is the leader of an organization called Service Space. Nipun he loves this church. He comes whenever he's in this area, and he has this, what I would call, he would not like this word, but I would call an empire of kindness. He is an empire of kindness. When I wrote to him recently, he said he had 50 speaking engagements on kindness and compassion in 5 weeks. Wow. All over the world. And he's currently in Japan receiving an award with people like Bill Gates and other people whose names that I would know, but I can't remember right now, for his humanitarian work in the world. And at lunch, we asked him, what is it that you do? You know, what is your methodology? What is your plan? What is your strategic plan to grow your organization and bring kindness into the world? And he said, well, I just try and be present with whoever is standing in front of me. Very much like Mother Teresa, who said, be kind to everyone. Start with the person next to you. Or perhaps even start with a person that you see in the mirror. So let's do that affirmation that we sometimes do today from time to time. I'm going to ask you to put your hands over your heart and say, Spirit. And I forgot the rest. No, I'm kidding. Let's do that again. Spirit, help me to see the truth about myself. Help me to see the truth of others. Help me to see the truth about life. No matter how beautiful it is. Yes and amen. We expand our consciousness into the ability to perceive beauty in ever, ever increasing levels. And we do that whenever we possibly can remember. And we come here together on Sundays to lift each other up and to remind one another. Let's do that now, and let us pray.